Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you today for being our God and for being here today and for the children that you have in our midst as well, Lord. We want to thank you so much for loving us. And I pray, Father, that your spirit will be among us today as we miss the presence of our pastor, Parsons, as he's preaching out there. And Lord, I ask that your word that comes out of my mouth may be a blessing, because it comes from you, Lord. I pray that everyone here will be blessed with the Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, all of us here have a couple of things in common, but one thing in common in particular that I want to bring out today is that it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we come from, it doesn't matter if we're rich or if we're poor, it doesn't matter what nationality we come from, where our heritage comes from, all of us here today, if Jesus doesn't come, we'll experience death. Can you agree with me today on that? That everyone, doesn't matter who we are, we will experience death. And you know, as you get older, you start thinking about that a little bit, and you start reflecting. You know, what is it that I want to experience in my life? What is it that I desire? What is it that I want? And, you know, as you get into, you know, in your teenage years, I remember my teenage years, I was thinking about the future, right? And I was thinking probably this when I was about 12, 13 years old, I was thinking that when I grow up and turn 25, I am going to own a Lamborghini. That's what I thought. I thought, yes, you know, and I also remember telling my mom that when I'm older and become rich, that I was going to hire her some servants, and that they were going to serve her, because I always saw her working and doing stuff around the house all the time, and she was tired at the end of the day. And I told her, one day I'm going to hire you servants. Well, today I'm 42, and I can tell you I have neither of those two things. My mom is asking me, where are the servants you promised me? And they're not around. But, you know, we start thinking about these things. What is it that we want out of life? You know, a lot of us plan things, and we plan things when we're 20. We plan things for when we're going to be 30. We plan things for what we imagine what our 40s are going to be like, and what our 50s and what our 60s. And we think about all these things about what is it that we want out of life. We want to be a good father, a good mother, a good son or a daughter. We want to be good in life, I think. We want the good things of life. I want to tell you today that we as Christians should be seeking something that most of the world does not have today. Most of the world doesn't even desire it. Doesn't seek it, doesn't want it, that we as Christians should be wanting this more than anything else in life itself. I can tell you this because I believe that God, for the past couple of years, and I think a lot more years before then, God has been trying to reach me. God has been trying to give me this message that for some reason it wasn't sinking in. And I really believe that God works in so many different ways to try to reach us, to try to tell us this message. And today I want to bring you this message because I think I finally get it. I think I finally get what God has wanted me from me for such a long time. When you meet a person who has this, you will know it. When you walk into a church who has this, you will know it. You will really recognize there's something different about this person. There's something different about this church. And you will definitely know it. And let me tell you what that is. I've been holding you off here for a little bit. We should be seeking something that God has offered us since the beginning of this world. And that is His blessing. We should be seeking the blessing of God. Now, what is the blessing of God? And how do I obtain it? And where do I get it? And why could it make such a difference in my life? Why is it so important? What is this? And so let us go ahead and look at the Word of God, and I want to bring you all the way to the beginning, because ever since the beginning, ever since the foundation of this world was established, God said these words in Genesis. Did you know that God, you know, as God was creating the universe and God was creating the world, the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then He came to creating a living thing, animals and birds and the fish of the sea, God pronounced a blessing to them. And right after that, when God created man, what happened? Let's see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of all of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Since the beginning, since God created man, God said there was a blessing for man to take from Him. And God pronounced that blessing. And not only that, but He also took a day out of the entire week and He pronounced a blessing to that as well. That if every generation that would keep it from that moment forward would receive a tremendous blessing. Those were the first three blessings in the Bible. The first one was towards the animals. The second one was towards man. And the third one was towards the Sabbath. That God pronounced a blessing. And ever since then, God has been trying to find people to bless. Isn't that amazing? Shouldn't people be seeking Him for blessings? But it's the opposite. God has been seeking men to bless. And we could look at all the stories of the patriarchs. For example, Noah. And you can go to Noah's story, and God said that after he came out of the ark, God said that He would bless him. You can look at Abraham. And Abraham was actually searching. He had an empty heart. He was searching for a God, because there are so many gods that people worshipped around him. And God found him. And God said, and what did He say to Abraham? He said, if you will do what I ask you to, I will bless you so big, so great, that all the people of the earth will come and see how great your people are, because you have been blessed by me, by God. You could look at his son Isaac. Isaac was blessed. Do you remember when he received the first blessing? Do you know when he received the first blessing? Do you remember as a little boy, Isaac was taken to a mountain where he was going to be sacrificed by his father Abraham? And the moment that Abraham was raising the knife to sacrifice him, an angel stepped in the middle of it all. And I believe that angel was Christ. And he said, "Stop right there. Here is the lamb that will take the place of your son Isaac." Since that moment forward, Isaac received the blessing. And then we go to the story of Jacob. Jacob is an example of who we should be as Christians. Because Jacob, if you remember the story of Jacob and Ishmael, and who was to receive the blessing? It was Ishmael, correct? The older son. He was going to receive the blessing from his father Isaac. Now, Jacob wanted the blessing more than anything else in this world. He wanted it more than anything else, and he was willing to do whatever it took to get that blessing. Do you remember what he did? He enticed his brother and said, "I will make you this awesome soup of lentils. That's your favorite. I will go out and make it for you if you allow me to take this blessing." And he was willing to go further than that and deceive and lie to his father to receive that blessing. Do you understand how bad he wanted that blessing? That he was willing to do whatever it took to get it. And once he received it, because of his guilt, he believed in his heart that he didn't really have the blessing of God. And he was seeking throughout the rest of his life, he was seeking that blessing from him, from God, and God gave him a dream. You guys remember the dream of the ladder, and upon that ladder there were angels that were traveling back and forth. And he woke up from that dream. Actually, he heard a blessing again from God in that dream. He said, "I will bless you and all your generations, and everybody who blesses you, I will bless, and everybody who curses, I will curse. Who curses you?" He received a blessing of God, a confirmation of the blessing that he already obtained, but he really didn't believe it. He didn't believe it until towards later on in his life. He had so many years that went by, and he was just struggling to find out whether he had that blessing or not. And let me show you proof of that blessing. One of the things that's important to note is this, and God says it throughout his word, is that when you receive this blessing of God, not only do you receive it, but people around you, people you come in contact with, come off with a blessing. And let me show you that in this story of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, it says this about his father-in-law Laban. "But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay.'" He was talking to Jacob. He was telling Jacob, "Please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." Do you guys see how powerful this blessing is? That even people around you will be blessed because you are blessed. Who here does not want to have that blessing today? I certainly do. I certainly want to have that blessing that blessing is so big that that you can't even contain it. It spills out of you unto others around you. The Bible is full of so many examples of God wanting to bless his people. Moses, when he was about to die, pronounced a blessing to all the tribes, to all the tribes of Israel. He went through all the tribes and he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you, and then bless you. And he gave certain descriptions about it. One that caught my attention was found in Genesis chapter 33. Oh, wait, I apologize for that. For some reason in my notes here, I have the wrong book. But let me, I have it written down here, and I want to just go ahead and read it to you, and then I'll try to find it later on. But this is what it says. As Moses is pronouncing his blessing specifically to Joseph and his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, he says about Joseph. He said, may the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below, with the best the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, in the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. In majesty he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he will gore the nations, even those at the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and such are the thousands of Manasseh. In ancient times, in these times, blessings were so important to be pronounced because they did not come from man. They came directly from God. And this one in particular, I was impressed to read it to you because of what it symbolizes, what it symbolized to that tribe of Joseph and his two sons because of what Joseph stood for. But what I wanted to point out is this, that when he says that with the choicest gifts of ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of everlasting hills, the best gifts of the earth in its fullness, in the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush, and to have the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. Moses is remembering here the God that spoke from him from the bush. And he is blessing Joseph, reminding him that it would be this same God who came, who spoke to him in the burning bush, the same God would be with him the rest of his life. Would be with the tribe of Joseph, which was Ephraim and Manasseh. So, what is this blessing? What is this blessing that God is so eager to give to us that we sometimes don't pay attention to it? This blessing that he wants to give us is so important because it is life itself. It is all what Jesus said when he was on this earth. When he said, I will give you life, and I will give you life to the fullest. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. That is the blessing that God wants to give you today. He wants to give you life because without Jesus, without God, there is no life. We can live But we are living like if we were dead. Actually, Jesus recognized that because he even said he was watching a procession one day and they were asking him about it. And they were saying, Jesus, aren't you going to do anything about it? And Jesus responded, let the dead bury the dead. Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say, let the dead bury the dead? He said that because without him, there is no life. We can be living like you and I here today and be walking in church and be doing our stuff at work and doing all kinds of things. But we can be dead if we don't have Jesus in our life, if we don't have his blessing. And we should be seeking that with all our heart and with all our mind. The Bible tells us to seek it and want it. In an example of the blessing of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2, God is telling us, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and you search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. That was Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you seek it, if you desire it as silver and gold, if you make that first in your life, you are going to find a tremendous blessing that God is going to give you in your life. You have to want it, but you have to desire it and want it. And the question is today, as you stand here today, and you know, and we know that we're all going to die one day if Jesus doesn't come. Do you want it? Do you want this blessing for your life? Do you want to walk around and know that there is a God who created the universe, who has power over everything? Do you want to know that you have secured that blessing of God? Like Jacob, he was walking throughout his life and didn't know that he already had the blessing, that he just needed to appreciate it. And all his life he was wondering, where's that blessing? Where's that blessing? And God was blessing him all along. Are we like Jacob in that instance? Jesus even said to us in Mark chapter 10, verses 21, in a parable he gave to us, he said, Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, actually, this is not the parable. He's talking about he's talking to the rich man, and he was asking, what can I do to enter life? And Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Jesus said, give up everything. Are you willing to give up everything for this blessing? Are you willing to give up your life, your possessions, everything for this blessing? Because only then, if you're willing to do this, will you receive it. And you will receive a treasure in heaven. In Matthew, this is the parable. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, God talks about the kingdom of heaven, which in essence is the blessing of God. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. In this parable, Jesus is telling us that a man finds this treasure. He finds it in this field. He doesn't know who it belongs to. He finds this field, and in it, there's a treasure. And he wants that treasure no matter what. He wants it. So what does he do? He sells everything that he has, all of it, every penny that he has, to buy this land. Why did he do that? Because he recognized that he found treasure of something that was so unbelievable that it was worth it to him to give up everything to buy this land? Are we willing to give up everything? Do we find the blessing of God worth it to be able to give up everything for it? I want to go back to that night in the story of Jacob, and then I'll wrap up the talk today to the story of Jacob. Jacob had been looking and searching for God's blessing, and he didn't think he had it, but God had already blessed him. Let's look at Genesis chapter 32 and verses 22 through 30. And it says this: that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So if you can imagine here, Jacob pretty much is being chased by his father-in-law because his father-in-law thought he was gypped and he wanted to get that blessing back. On the other side, there was his brother who he thought was still angry at him for taking that blessing by deception, and he thought he was going to get killed. So at that point he says, I have nothing else to do. What is it that I can do? I have everybody on my side. They're trying to kill me. They're trying to get rid of me. I don't have God's blessing. And that night he sent everybody out, and he was alone by himself. Have you ever been alone by yourself in darkness and just thought a little bit and see if you could hear God's voice? Well, in this instance, something happened. And it said, and we'll go ahead and continue to read, verse 24 and onward. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then the man asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So that night, Jacob thought that he didn't have his blessing, and he wrestled with this angel all night long, and this angel was Jesus Christ. I believe that. He was wrestling with him all night long, and he would not let him go until he received the blessing. Today, brothers and sisters, I ask you to be like Jacob. I ask myself to be like Jacob and not let go of God until we have a blessing from him. I want to wrap this up with the example of Jesus. Jesus, I believe that Jesus, when he was born, he did not have any divinity in him. He was born like you and me, human beings. He was born like Adam, without sin. But he sought, and his divinity came, and he sought it through God, his Father, who wrapped him in divinity. And all the miracles that he made, all the things that he did, were not of his own power. It was the power of his Father, of the Father. And let me read to you something that impressed me very much, because he gave us the example of how we should seek God to receive this blessing. And this is a quote from Desire of Ages that says this: in a life wholly devoted to the good of others, the Savior found it necessary to withdraw from the thoroughfares of travel and from the throng that followed him day after day. He must turn aside from a life of ceaseless activity and contact with human needs to seek retirement and unbroken communion with his Father. As one with us, a sharer in our needs and weaknesses, he was wholly dependent upon God, and in the secret place of prayer, he sought divine strength that he might go forth braced for duty and trial in a world of sin. Jesus endured struggles and torture of soul. In communion with God, he could unburden the sorrows that were crushing him. Here he found comfort and joy. And I'll finish with this. In Christ, the cry of humanity reached the Father of infinite pity. As a man, he supplicated the throne of God till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that should connect humanity and divinity. Through continual communion, he received life from God that he might impart life to the world. His experience must be our experience. Did you understand that quote? That Jesus, his humanity was just like ours. He was sinless. He was born in sin. But every day he sought God for this blessing. Every night he would get up before anybody else to pray to God and ask him to give him this blessing and to impart this to him, to fill him with life so that he could impart it to others. Through this, I'll read this last part. Through continual communion, he received life from God that he might impart life to the world. His experience must be our experience. And I pray that it will be. Let us go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that the experience of Christ will be our experience. That the experience of your Son will be our experience. Lord, I pray and I seek your blessing today. I seek that we as a congregation seek that blessing, Lord. We don't want to leave this place today unless we receive that blessing. We want people to say that there's a man that has been blessed by God, that there's a woman that is blessed by God, that there's a child that has been blessed by God, that there's a church that has been blessed by God. Lord, bless us today. Bless us with that blessing that is undistinguishable. I pray, Father, that we will desire this every day, that we will want it more than anything else in this world. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless us today. I pray this. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.